God, there may be other kinds of people that show and there are, that show the magnificent grace of a God in heaven who could have just let us all die and yet ran toward us to save us and died doing so. So this is a particular kind of session, and for that we are grateful. Help us to all learn and to encourage one another and to determine how what we do matters and theology matters. And when you put those two together, we have opportunities that we may never have seen before. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, they have a series of questions that they've seen, Mike. I believe you've seen them anyway. And we'll start off with some of those, but if it goes off into a different direction, that's okay with me. I just need to moderate the thing, okay? So we'll keep things moving. We'll try and divide every second, every minute into four. I don't know how that's going to work, but we'll just see. We really want to know what their faith means in what they do. But before that, let's learn a little bit about who they are, what they do, and so, how long you've been part of College Park, and anything you want to tell us about your family? How many? Jason, you want to start? This is Jay, and introduce yourself too.
This, you won't hear through this mic. It's only being recorded. So, my name is Jason Powell. I've been coming to College Park since around '99. And we did the little College Park Columbus stint. I don't know how many of you have been around for that long, but we did that when we lived down there for a while. Then we ventured back up here. I've been a firefighter since 08, and I was an EMT before that, somewhere around 06. I started that venture. So yeah, I've got 8.5 years before I can retire.
I'm Caleb Tatlock. I have been coming to College Park for right at 2 years. I am a police officer with IMPD on the northwest side, and I've been doing that for about to start my fifth year. My beat that I'm responsible for is kind of right outside the front doors here. It's from 96th Street and Michigan Road over to Raceway Road down to like 71st Street. And I go into work later today. And then you said something about our family.
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I have a wife and two kids. A little boy who turns 5 tomorrow. And a little girl who turned 3 this last December. And we like to camp.
That's yeah.
Thing we like to do.
Kevin Kern. This is my wife, Annie. We've been here since 2004. I've been on IMPD since 95. 15 years of street experience and the 46218 zip code, and then been inside investigations for 12 years, currently with the grand jury. She'll tell more probably about the family, but I guess a fun fact, we have bees and fish.
The fish are outside in a
pond. I want to know more about
pond.
That.
Yeah. And
koi, you being koi?
And the bees appear to have survived this year,
yeah.
Unlike last year.
Yeah.
It's all about the bottom line for me, the honey. Kevin really enjoys it. I am Annie Kern, and I worked in public service for 30 years, 22 years with the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department as a civilian. I would tell folks I'm afraid of guns and all that stuff. My job was to work with and network with the people who were law-abiding citizens, residents. That was 22 years, and then I worked 9 years for the Marion County Prosecutor as the Community Outreach Director. So there again, my role was connecting and engaging and building bridges to connect our world to residents of Marion County. And we have lots of nieces and nephews, and I actually believe that one of my top titles was auntie.
Great. Well, from here on, we're going to kind of freeform, but start with the question, and for whoever has the mic in their hand gets to begin. Since this is a theological conference and it has to do with work, how has your faith worked with your work? And you can go anywhere with this.
I think as long as I've been on the police department, first thing is, I guess let me back up. When I joined IMPD, because I'm not from Indianapolis, when I joined IMPD, I wanted to find a church that was based where a lot of the citizens in the area I worked attended. And I wanted to join that church so I would feel like I would get a chance to know the people I'm serving. And that was really helpful on many levels. But one of the things that people at church would often say to me is, they say, how can you as a Christian do that job? And it was such a standard question. I really thought about it, and my typical reply was, I don't know how a person can do this job who's not a Christian. I said, it is tough, but I said at the end of the day, I can give everything to the Lord. The things that I don't understand, the things that I can't rationalize, the things that I would hope that nobody would ever have to see or experience. Because honestly, another saying I've always had to try to explain law enforcement, probably law enforcement and I say public safety maybe, because this would be fire as well, and EMTs, and that is, your worst day is our every day. We don't get called to birthday parties unless they've gone horribly wrong. So we deal at least in this segment of public safety, we deal in tragedy and trauma all day long. And being able to have a God who is present and who longs to commune with me, it makes it so much easier. And because ultimately, those who don't have a faith or who don't recognize a sovereign God who cares, they turn to vices because they have to anesthetize themselves. Mm-hmm. And then that just leads to really, really bad areas ultimately. But yeah, I would say that was my biggest thing is recognizing that there was not only a sovereign God who cared about me, but who wanted to meet with me. And as I just jumped into his word, I was able to process life. I think law enforcement in general just pressed me into him more and more.
Yeah, good. Also, I've watched enough of these things that you may, at the end of it, say, oh, I wish I had said that. Jot it down. We'll give you some time for the wish I had said that thing. But very good answer. Why don't we jump to a firefighter and then come back to another?
The curse of being the only one.
Police officer.
So, the question again.
How has your faith been affected by your job?
So, like he said, we see people at their worst every day. I would say the difference between the police and fire, of course, is the stigma that recently has been put on the police. But also, the firefighters, we all live together. So we're 24 hours. So you have to be firm in your faith because not everybody has the same beliefs as you. I work with a Muslim, and I also work with people that just don't believe. So you have to go into it strong in your faith that they know who you are and they will hold you accountable. They see you as a hypocrite from day one. But as you become a family, they will protect you. Because, as you're sitting around the table talking, of course, the stories go off in not the most honoring ways. You kind of step back and just stay out of it. But then the phone starts getting passed around. Hey, watch this. Hey, look what I found online. And they'll go, yeah, Jason, you don't want to see this. You know, and I think that's a form of respect. And then when crap does hit the fan, it's, hey, man, how do I do this? You know, how do you do it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's lots to that. So,
good.
Yeah, like you said, Kevin, so much of specifically for law enforcement and firefighters as well too is I think you really do get a front row seat to the evil of the world, and in a way that if people outside of this room just don't even have a category for, like you know, they might hear a news story about a shooting or an incident, and they might attempt to conceptualize what that would be like to be there, what that may make them feel like, but it's undescribable unless you've really experienced it. And I think that, like you said, that has a toll on you, and it's fascinating watching your coworkers, how they respond to that, and then having a sober self-assessment of yourself and how you're going to respond to it. And because I don't think you know, I'm a spring chicken, you know, only 4 or 5 years in, but I know this to be true, that you cannot go through the jobs that we all do unchanged. Like you can't. It's not, and no offense to some of the other professions, but it is not the same as like being an accountant or a chef or whatever. All those things have their own stresses and difficulties. Absolutely, work is work, but I think there is something morally significant about what we do, and that impacts the day to day. And you're going to do something with that. And that might be, you know, calming your spirit with alcohol or sex or, you know, expensive toys or whatever your thing is, or it could be leaning in to God. And I think, and again, in my very short time, I've realized that doesn't always look as like clean and like neat and tidy and all the loose ends tied up as I would like it to. Like it often days feels like I'm most days just asking for my daily bread to get through the day. There are moments and days where I, you know, lose my cool on somebody out on the street, and I feel, you know, conviction, and I guess the blessing and the curse is it's my job, so that I get to go back right on the next run and try it all over again. And I'll touch on the coworker piece. Like I feel like it's been helpful to because you're spending so much time with people. We're not, you know, living with other cops on a day-to-day basis, but like, you know, we have our beats, and so you see a lot of the same people often. I do a lot of apologizing, and I think that that's really disarming, especially in law enforcement, because like people don't, like you don't admit, like, you know, I messed that up, or I lost my cool on that guy, that was stupid. Or apologizing to people on runs is like, what do you, like, would you just apologize to that guy that we're like, you know, the drunk dude that we're trying to kick out of this bar or whatever? You know, that's, and all these things are tempered with like officer safety and following my general orders and whatever, but like in the pyramid of importance, I have to stand before God one day, and that is of infinite more importance than what my coworker thinks about me or what this drunk dude, whether he respects me or not. You know, and if people have questions later about what those specifics look like, that's an interesting conversation too. But like, I don't know. I, amidst all that, on each run and every interaction I have with coworker or otherwise, it's helpful to, and I don't do this perfectly, but to think through that lens of like, my ultimate mandate here is not what my general orders say or what my coworkers think is best practices. It's what does my Lord say to me, because he's my Lord. You know, Chief Taylor is not my Lord. My B partner is not my Lord, but the Lord is my Lord. So,
yeah. As you're passing that down to Annie, one thing that Dan said this morning that really struck me about that is whatever we do all to the glory of God, and we tend to focus on the whatever we do instead of focus on the glory of God. And that was very helpful to me. Annie?
I didn't go into working for the police department or the prosecutor's office thinking, I'm going to live out my faith. It's what happened. It's what became very clear that there were daily opportunities to be different, daily opportunities to be unique. And I discovered when people would come to me that normally would not, I had a administrator come to me one day because there were lots of changes. Every time there's changes in leadership, there's chaos. People are jumping ship. People don't know what's going to happen. And I had someone come to me and just look at me and stare at me and say, I want what you have. She didn't understand why I was calm. I've had officers come to me and day shift officers have usually been around a long time. They're not really trying to be bothered with, you know, civilians like me. But when you get a call from a day shift officer that says, can you meet me? And you pull your car up, and that officer looks like they're in tears. And they say to you, someone who normally does not talk to you, but they've recognized something. Mm-hmm. And that officer says, I need your help. I have a 12-year-old on my beat that's very sick, and I'm like, where is this going? Mm-hmm. And the officer tells me, I don't know how long this child's going to live, but he loves ice hockey. Can you get the ice players to come and visit this child? Mm-hmm. This is a 15-minute conversation. I drive away, and it's hard for me not to cry. And I said, Lord, if it's going to happen, you're going to have to make it happen. I have no idea. I don't even watch ice. I don't even know what it is. I go back to the office, and at that time, we had phone books. And I pull out my phone book, and I call the ICE office. And within a few days, there were multiple players at his house. Hmm. One who came from the hospital who had just had an injury. Hmm. And there are so many of those situations because I was willing. Hmm. And because I knew who held the power to make things happen. So I think living out my faith was more comfortable for me in my jobs that I did. I just saw it for 30 years. I'm retired now and at Kroger and Floral, and I see the same thing. So it's who we are every day.
Yeah. That's great. It is. It's who we are. You know, and I get the sense, all of you, as are we, but you guys are more, if politics change things, then that comes down and affects you. So a lot of your bosses are politically appointed, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And there's politics that go on in your line of work that I've only heard about. I've never really observed. So, and I imagine it's kind of been exacerbated by the past 2 years of what in the world is going on. So can you give us a little insight into how your spiritual walk with God has brought you through the last 2 years of difference? You didn't count on that. You didn't prepare for it. You didn't plan for it. You didn't take any training for the past 2 years, but you made it through. How has your faith helped you to make it through the past 2 years?
I'll be real quick. My last 9 years, I did work for an elected person, and elected people in the organization involved themselves in things that I may not want to be involved in. And I can tell you, I was chicken sometimes. I did not want to walk in certain parades. I did not mm-hmm. want to do certain things. And I thankfully avoided a lot of things. I didn't want to have certain conversations. because when you're working in a political world, and mine was, it was right there. It was two doors down. And so there was just lots of conversations that, one, you were respectful. You're respectful. You keep quiet sometimes. You don't express your views, your opinions. And people, and thankfully people, you know, I was fortunate they respected that. But not always. Some people will challenge you. But I just kind of kept quiet about several things and just kept it moving.
Yeah, good.
But it was tough.
Good. Yeah.
Do you want to jump on this one next?
You can go ahead.
Go ahead, Kevin. you got the mic.
So, what angle do you do you want us to respond on this?
How has your faith helped you through the past 2 years of shutdown? COVID shutdown, I guess.
COVID didn't really have that much of an effect on me.
Okay.
It was just so really wrestling with the last 18 months with the, as someone, as the sheriff of San Diego said, the defaming, the defanging, yes, and the defunding of police.
Yeah.
It was hard. That hit me harder than anything that's ever hit me. Maybe the second hardest thing, but it got to the point where I started having heart palpitations, basically, PVCs, and the heart specialist I went to, he goes, you're a police officer. I said, yeah. He goes, I would be surprised if everybody in your profession doesn't have PVCs right now. He says, the way you guys are being attacked. And it was so hard because having had coworkers who've died on the job defending people that they didn't even know, and knowing the days in and days out, and basically being said that you're a racist and you're out to put down people of color, that just, it's what I've done for it. I don't want to say it was my identity, but it's a big part of what I stood for. And the reason why I got into it was to help people, to help be that stem against evil, against our citizens in whatever form it took. But it really broke me down to a, in some ways, a really dark place. Because the thing was, that I knew it wasn't true. And so I'm like, on the one hand, I know these guys I work day in and day out with. Yeah, there are some bad apples, absolutely. There are definitely some bad apples in any shape and form, any occupation or else. But I was like, Lord, what is going on? It's like, I don't get it. And finally, I think he helped me understand. It's like, these are false teachers. And I was like, this is what is talked about in the Bible, about false teachers, people who are getting into the politics, people in the media, people on social media. They are teaching something that's absolutely not true. And I'm like, Satan is having a heyday. And once I was able to really kind of categorize that and figure that out, as like, there was a level of peace that started to come through. Yeah. Because I said, I just don't, it was just hard. It was just hard. It's gotten better. But I think that was the biggest turning point for me, was when I realized what was going on behind it.
Yeah.
Can I just say real quick, like, I think also overarching what was really challenging for me, you know, during the shutdown in the last 2 years, was just, and Pastor has talked about it, all the different viewpoints coming out, but the ones I cared about most were the ones from other Christians. And that was sometimes disheartening in our world, and just how divided we are. And I just kept wanting to scream, but what's your biblical foundation? Mm-hmm. What's your biblical worldview? And I just felt like there was just such, we were divided persons. This is who I am at church, but this is who I am. That really bothered me the last couple of years.
and we're to be known for our unity. So it should bother you.
Yeah.
Should bother you. Caleb, you got any...
Yeah. I mean, the last 2 years were like super, super hard. Really, really hard. It coincided with kind of right when we started coming to College Park. And then, like Kevin said, I don't feel like COVID really affected my job too much, but all the political happenings and kind of whatever racial reckoning or whatever you want to term it, definitely did. And, the one way COVID did affect it was we weren't meeting in person at church, and we had just started coming to College Park, so it was like we were desperate for community and other Christians to be around to speak truth to us in a time when it was hard to believe what was true. And God was faithful through that, but it was hard. So my district that I work, and actually at the time I worked in a different beat, and it was the same beat where there was another. This is the Drayshon Reed shooting. It was a high profile shooting, like shortly after the George Floyd stuff. But that was in my beat on the day I was off. So it's like that very well could have been me had I just been working that day. But that was going on, and then you have all the upheaval with the George Floyd stuff, and I was there for the riots those two nights, and. At one point my car got surrounded. I was alone and my car got surrounded by like 300 people, and they smashed my windshields to bits and are trying to yank open my door handle and smacking my car with bats. And by God's grace, I got out of there unscathed, but stuff like that just like sticks with you. It's like these people don't even know me and they're trying to murder me because of this uniform that I wear or the color of my skin or whatever. And it was shocking. The Hayden Vogrop said this at the prayer night. The moral injury of it was just like it hit you in a part in your soul that like felt like a physical injury. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't sleep well for months. I think I lost a bunch of weight. It was difficult. It was extremely difficult. Like many days, I would drive into work and people just driving by while I'm in my police car, just like flipping me off. And I'm just like, what. What is this? Like, you don't even know me. Or I'd be like on the side of the road, like on a traffic stop or whatever, and people are, roll their window down and scream obscene things. Or the higher ups thought it'd be a good idea to let the citizens of Indianapolis come to our roll call to express their displeasure with us. And so we had to stay away from roll call for the day. And then the next day we come back and there's a chalk all over where we park our cars that says F12 and y'all are pigs and racist things about white cops. And it hurt. Yeah. And it was hard. And I think going back, like I wish COVID hadn't been happening at the same time. And by God's grace, we did get community around us, and God was faithful through that community to minister to us. I think the one thing that popped into my head when you asked the question, what was most like salient in that time that like kept coming back to me in my like darkest moments were like, Jesus understands this. Like he really, like if anybody can understand like being wrongfully told like, oh, you're hurting us. You're out to, you're actually part of the bad in the system, and you're showing favoritism and whatever. It's like that's literally the story of Jesus. You know, he really can empathize and step into that pain with us, not in an abstract way. It's like that was his life, and he was murdered for it brutally and slandered and. I guess he wasn't personally embarrassed, but like, spat upon and like, dude, I've been spit on. Like I've been, I've had people hurl nasty insults toward my way. I've been kicked and punched and shot at and, all that stuff. And it's like, Jesus understands. And I feel like sometimes all I could muster in a prayer was just like, oh, God, you understand right now. You understand. And, that felt like, that's my daily bread for today. I'm going to get on to the next day. And like, you don't want to live like that forever, but there was a season there where it's like, man, that felt like what all I could hope for, you know? So yeah, it was really difficult. And I feel like it's not, you know, we're not even completely through it. Like a lot of these political influences are still, you know, in play. I didn't know the guy, but you know, their IMPD officer shot a few days ago, you know, straight in the throat, you know, just trying to get a guy who was driving drunk and hitting people. It's like, you know what, the dangers are real. I've seen multiple, I mean, just like Kevin said, you know, we had the evil is out there, and I think most cops aren't, well, I think this would, you correct me if I'm wrong, but most of the guys out there aren't like looking to be congratulated or like want attention. Like most of them, even the non-Christian ones, are just like, I believe that this is good and right, and I want to stem the evil in the world, and just leave me alone, you know? And like, it's just shocking to us that we go out there and we, you know, put our lives in danger on a daily basis for people that like genuinely do not like us. And it's, I don't know how people do this job as not being a Christian. It's crazy. Yeah. But I don't know.
And I think there's a, feels to me anyway, that there's a little bit of shift there. When my house is on fire, I love seeing you come. I can't wait till you get there.
Yeah, we are in totally different jobs.
It is, but
the same in some ways. But
yeah, and part of the same, I don't know how many of you know me, I'm Don Bartimus. I'm the Compassion Ministries pastor here, and the Jason's one of our deacons at our church and has really stepped up in deep and active compassion, particularly with people, the Virginia Lassons of our church, the older people who can't take care of themselves, and other people who have things that need to happen. And whatever's in his heart spiritually also affects him as a deacon and as a firefighter and as a husband and a father. And not sure where this is leading, but you have some thoughts about the past couple of years?
Well, I will say I'd much rather go into a burning building than hold this mic. But as you all see, the shaking that's going on. As far as politically, a little background on me. I used to be at Franklin Fire Department, then I come to Zionsville. In Franklin, you know, of course, everybody, whenever you get in, you then start progressing, you know, up the ranks and stuff. Whenever I came to Zionsville, I was like, yeah, that ain't happening again. So I'm about as low as you can get in the rankings and stuff. So there is a lot of buffer between me and politics.
Okay.
And there's reason for that. So I have good people above me that take all the beatings for me. As far as COVID, I'm going to take the route that it's both easier and harder. Easier being the political media, all that scared people to death to even, you know, see somebody in their front yard, let alone have people come into their house. So people quit calling 911. For the fire, well, not the fires, we had fires, but as far as medical, because we do EMS also. So people are like, you know, maybe this chest pain isn't that bad. We'll just give it another day. And so it was easier in that aspect as our, you know, our run load dropped. You know, I'd go three shifts of, you know, being at station, not leaving. And people couldn't come into our station and visit us. Family, little kids that want to see the fire truck, nothing. And we couldn't go into schools anymore to do the whole public safety stuff. We couldn't even go to another station and visit our, you know, if we were driving by another station in our area, you know, stop in and, you know, get some supplies or say hi. We couldn't even do that. So, yeah, it got easy as far as that goes. But then it got hard because when they did call, it was too late. And so, I mean, we had people that died of heart attacks that 2 days earlier would have been a cath lab. And probably home by the time they died. So that was a difficult thing to witness, especially being a Christian, because we know that God has it written for us, whether it's COVID that's going to get us or it's going to be when we're 100 years old and we just time out. And so that was a struggle for me, was the sitting there and just being told, none of us want to be told what to do, but to be told what to do as far as my health and my safety goes.
Yeah.
In that aspect. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if that answered questions or not.
Did for me. And okay. it may be a good time for a, are you guys needing some clarification on what you've heard already? As in, do you have a question? Or a thought?
Well, I was on the fire department for 42 years. And I retired over a year ago, and then I went into police, believe it or not, as a public safety officer at schools. And it's just totally different from going in wanting to be there, from kids cussing me out, kind of like you, have been beat up on, everything, you know. And I'm trying to figure out how I can present God in a way, or just us in a way that we're not here to hurt you or intimidate you, we're here to help you.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm really working on, because I'm trying to teach the kids that we're here to help you get an education so that you can be a better person, because if you don't listen to the teachers, because all I hear is screaming all day long trying to get these kids to listen, or the kids just run out of the room. My job is to go get them and bring them back.
Wow.
You know.
That's
and
a fun job.
No. Well, I'm in fights all the time, and it's hard for me to now to try to keep a kid from getting hurt from me hurting them, trying to get them back to just do something. They won't listen.
Yeah.
And it's really hard, because I know it looks like they just have no leadership, no concept of God anymore.
Yeah.
And it's just trying to figure out what I should do. Yeah. And I got to be careful politically.
Yeah,
because I can't say a whole lot, because I did that at my other job, and I lost my job 15 years at a fire department because my boss was gay, and I evidently had made some comments about my Christianity, and he wasn't happy with it. Next thing I know, I'm called up on the carpet, and she can tell you, I went on vacation, and I came back, and 5 minutes after vacation, I was fired. You know, I had no idea this was coming down the thing, all because of my religious beliefs.
Yeah. And And let me try and reframe that, because they've got to hear this for the recording. How can we go into a situation as a believer and see a wrong, and then how do we bridge that gap from where we are and where God is, and then to these people who may hate you or what you represent, let's put it that way. Any ideas?
Well, once again, I'm a firefighter, and most people love it when I come in. That's the benefit of this job. But, there are times that we have to come in and intervene after the police have apprehended somebody, and then they hate everybody. So that happens all too often. And a lot of times you can't, I mean, to walk up to somebody that's belligerent to the officers, and then anybody that's associated with the officer is also bad. They're not going to be receptive to anything, especially being, hey, I'm a Christian firefighter, you know.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I can interject into that is that there's grace for that. Yeah. And, there's conversations with God after those scenarios. I mean, sometimes you get rough with people. Yeah. I mean, because if not, you're going to get hurt yourself. So, in the back of ambulances, things happen, and there's grace for that.
Yeah, that's good. So there's two sides to it. It's the person you're involved with, but it's also you and your own heart. I mean, that's
I think something that I've been learning over the past couple of years is that I can't fix every problem that I come across, because it's a tsunami of problems. You know, I go into a house with, I'm trying to think of juvenile stuff that I've dealt with, since you're doing the public safety officer thing. If I walk in cause a single mom's having trouble with her 16-year-old son or whatever, there's 1,000 things going wrong in that house that I am not equipped, to in my professional position or even personal position to fix. So then the question is what am I to do, right? And this is a general answer to that, but I think that, you know, it'll look a thousand different ways. When I don't know what to do, I default to the big picture things of like, what does God ask of me? And Jesus summed up the law in loving God and loving people. Yeah. And that can look a thousand different ways on the street. So I mean this, and I can get into details on it later, but like I would view pointing my gun at somebody to stop them from doing something really dumb as an act of love. Yeah. And I mean that. I would view throwing a 14-year-old in a Kimura because he's about to smack his mom as an act of love to restrain him from further evil. Those are really precarious positions that can go from evil or that can go from love to malice on my end because of the anger in my heart really fast. Mm. But responsible for is how I love people in those moments. Good. And I can't emphasize enough how quickly it can go from like an act of love to like my anger just whoom, and it's like you know, and you work with cops, like, I mean, you can it can go fast. It can go from like very quickly, like, this is a good and righteous act of force, or, you know, raising my voice. Like, all those things can be good, but they can be bad. So you're in a cool position, specifically you, with being within the, I assume you're in the same school every day?
I'm actually rotate, but I'm in three schools, but they're either junior high or high school.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So you see some of the same kids again and again, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I don't typically get that lecture. Sometimes I'll run into the same people again and I know their names and I get to build a rapport with them. But like, you might not be able to like be the dad in these kids' lives that don't have a dad and they've got all these behavioral problems. But, you know, glorifying God in your work might be, you know, being the one authority figure that kid sees in his life that isn't a jerk, you know, you know, doesn't compromise his safety and won't let some punk like think that he's going to get one over on me, like on a safety wise, but, like, you know, especially with kids, it's like most of the kids I deal with, they don't have a dad, and, the only men in their lives are just not good influences. And so when they see a grown man on scene that's like able to handle his emotions, it's like a unicorn. They're just like, what is this? You know? And, wow. I don't know if that changes anything. I don't see these kids grow up. I've also had conversations with 16-year-olds and sat down with an hour for them. And then 2 weeks later found out they got shot in the head and killed robbing somebody that had a concealed carry permit. So it's like, I don't know. Like I try, but, again, like it might just be being the one authority figure in their life that's kind of – you're not going to fix all their problems. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, what I try to do is now be positive – because I see them at the doors when they first come in. Yeah. I'm trying to be positive. Yeah. Good morning. How are you? Have a good day. You know, I want to say God bless you, but I can't do that. You know, I have a blessed day because I'm not allowed to do that. But now they're starting to say hi to me.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
The first time in ever, you know, and there you have to put, you know, the spray on their hands, and they say thank you. I said, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. And just little conversations like that, you know, it's starting to work.
It does.
But it's real hard. You know,
it's hard.
Cause you're right. There's a lot of stuff in their life that you have no idea going on.
That you can't fix.
Those are real good insights. Do you guys have something to add? Because I've got a couple of real important things to do in the last 10 minutes.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But go ahead.
I was going to be all over the place. But seriously, the challenge is hard. I used to go to work, and I would say, Lord, help me to be salt and light today.
Yeah.
Help me, because when I first started running my mouth earlier on, I said in ways that I'm more comfortable with, I am not going to be the person that post a lot of Christian stuff in my office. I'm not going to be the person who comes to you and, you know, tries to, you know, necessarily lead you to Jesus. I'm not that person. But I am going to be that person that lives at peace with others as much as it's possible for me. But I had a very tough situation. I've really tried to be quick.
It's okay.
And I could not hold back. There was a person outside my office once who was Jewish and who was putting down Christianity. Non-believers are very comfortable in their non-belief in expressing it more than I am expressing my faith publicly. And this person worked their way into my office, and it came out of my mouth. If you deny the Son, you don't have the Father. That person no longer spoke to me, avoided me when I would see this person. My job is to connect and be friendly. My job is to bridge. And I didn't like it. And I eventually went to that person's office and apologized. I said, I'm not apologizing for the fact that I believe what I said. I don't remember all the things that went on. But just by me humbling myself, going to his office, very powerful person, not the leader, let me make sure that's correct, not the leader, but still very powerful, we became friends again.
Mm-hmm.
He still had his belief. But I also said, you'd never know when you give that seed. And I said, I know that the word says, if you deny the Son. Mm-hmm. Because this person would, did I say that this person was of Jewish faith? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they would give me all that information. And I just thought, lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lost. Yeah. But I couldn't say that. So that's why I wanted to say that, that it just, the humbling the self and praying, and like the people that have come to me, it's because I think there's a willingness to just be kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I had to apologize to this guy. Yeah. I really did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Pastor Mark will say it often, God's at work in a million ways we don't even know. Mm-hmm. What you said will come back to that guy one day. And it wasn't Tony Katz, was it? No. At any rate, what I want to do is kind of connect us and our church and what we just talked about. Any ideas? This wasn't on your notes, but I know. Sorry. Yeah. What would you want from your church and to help you through that? And then give us one thing to pray for. And we will. How can our church best help you do your job to the glory of God? In three sentences.
Preach the word.
I love the fact that our pastor continues to preach the word.
Uh-huh.
That he honors and is faithful to what God says. Yeah. And not wavering with current. With culture. What does God say? But I also know that, and I've had to say this to other members who have been frustrated. Do you believe that our church loves the Lord and the Word?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let it stay there.
Yeah.
Let it stay there.
Okay. I will pass that along to him. I do that regularly. Keep doing what you're doing up there. I know it's...
And love him. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that College Park has done this, so this isn't a like whatever. But having a posture of wanting to understand, and I think that the last 2 years specifically have unearthed a lot of just questions for people in general that. Mm-hmm. They have never had to think about, and so they're not going to be an expert on it because you've never had to think about it. So it's like, you know, so a church is made up of humans, and you can't expect them to be perfect or have a perfect opinion right off the bat or understand something perfectly. But what you would hope of a church or any organization or collection of people is that they would have the humility to say, like, I don't know, but we're gonna talk to some cops and figure out what this has been like for them and help us understand, like, I know this is like kind of getting in the weeds, but like help us understand like uses of force and what governs that. And like, do we have a theological opinion on that? Cause like, if you're not a cop, you've probably never thought about that. You know what I mean? And, rightly so, but, I have.
Yeah.
A lot.
Because I don't even know what a Kimura. Kimura.
Yeah.
Is that a hold?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, it's like I have had to think, and I have a strong – or I have an opinion about deadly uses of force or and all these things, and I feel like I can point to scripture and defend – but, like, if you're not a cop, you probably have never had to think about that.
Nope.
So,
nope.
I don't know what the church can necessarily do for me, but one thing they have done is have this guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
yeah,
that's true. Don has been great in my life.
Mm.
But the thing you can pray for me is not for me, but for my family. Because if something happens to me, good.
Mm-hmm.
If something happens to me, bad for them. So.
Yeah.
So very good. Every day we go to work.
Very good. Yep.
That may be it.
Yep, I agree. Well, let's take some time to pray for these wonderful folks. And I knew going into this that I don't feel worthy to even hand off the even just to hand off a microphone. But we also are all part of them and their lives, and they're part of you and your lives. And what I have been so honored to see is these four people involved in the life and ministry of College Park Church. They don't take Sundays off of being here and being with people. I mean, Kevin was an elder. Jason's a deacon. Small groups, counseling. They've poured their life into the church. They are church people. And that makes them brothers and sisters of ours. And even though I don't have a category, I did get to go one time with Kevin on a ride-along. It was a few years ago. And I don't know if you're even allowed to do that kind of thing. And I got to get on a fire truck once and wear the hat, maybe, and we went on some runs. That was
a little plastic one.
That was a little, yeah. I got to go in. I still have it. I got everybody to sign it. It was wonderful. But that's who they are, and they're part of us. So let's pray for them. And you know, I was just at a prayer conference with Pastor Mark for a couple of days down south of here, and. There are different ways you can pray that may get you just a little bit more involved. And one that I just love is when somebody's leading a prayer like this, if you can put out your hand toward these people and pray. Our Father, we know that you know their lives and what they go through and what they think about and how it almost builds up on them as though barnacles on a boat. And there are times where they just have to pull into the dry dock, scrape those barnacles off, and go back at it. But I thank you that they keep going back at it. And I thank you that they have a God. I thank you for the things that they have mentioned, such as the knowledge that Jesus knows what they've been through because he has been through it too. And the knowledge that when other people are running away, Jesus ran to us, and he wouldn't stop. He kept going through everything, even to the point of death, because of the joy that was set before him. Remind them of that joy. Each one of them mentioned that they do this for a deeper reason, and may they keep going after that deeper reason of loving you and loving others. And we do pray for your great protection over them every day. In the name of Jesus, we bless them, and in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.